With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm not about to bury anybody in April, especially not somebody who competes with legitimate spirit, but my goodness, Rowdy Tellez. Woo! Good morning to you. Good Friday morning. I'm Dejan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Pirates. It comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into football and or hockey, I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Penguins in the same place that you found this. Rowdy is now batting 183 through this opening month. He's 13 for 71. He struck out 20 times. And even that doesn't paint the starkest picture. What does is that he homered in the opening series of the season down in Miami. You remember that one? The big three-run shot? And I was in the clubhouse afterward, and these guys were all whooping it up, and Rowdy this and Rowdy that. That was his only extra base hit of the year to date. Incredible. Incredible. Like, even if you're not a power guy, that's incredible. If you're a Leika Williams to get through a month as a regular without a couple of extra base hits is incredible. This has been just a big bust to date for Ben Cherington. And I know people are getting mad at Derek Shelton because they always get mad at Shelton because Shelton's easier to get mad at because he's the face that you see on your TV, so you have somebody to shake a fist at. He's not the one who signed Tellez. He's just the one who's under pressure from above to get Tellez going, which is why it seems like the majority of the complaints around Tellez is where he's hitting in the order, as if that matters. He's hitting third or fourth, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because none of them are hitting other than Williams. If you moved Williams into the leadoff spot, you'd be optimizing this particular lineup because Nobody is hitting. So don't worry about where Tellez's name gets written into the order. It just doesn't matter. What does matter is that all of them aren't hitting, including Tellez. And if you want to get even more ominous about this, there aren't going to be answers. Not from this hitting coach. Because there are never answers from this hitting coach. So Tellez has to go find them somewhere else, presuming he isn't already doing that as we speak. But I will say this, and again, I want to stress here that I'm not writing him off. He has a ton of energy to him. He wants so very badly to succeed with this team, for this team. And if that sounds like a bunch of sappy hooey to you, well, it's the truth. And I'll take that any day of the week over somebody who doesn't give a crap or who's just collecting their paycheck. That is not this guy. But I will revisit multiple conversations we had on this very program about first base, about the importance, the critical importance of adding a significant, powerful and dependable bat at the position, because there were so many positions at which you weren't going to have any such thing, and you pretty much knew that. You couldn't afford to have it there. So what ends up happening? Well, you know how this part goes. This guy gets signed over there, that guy gets signed over wherever, and the Pirates take a $3.2 million one-year flyer on Tellez. They didn't worry about his splits, or if they did, they didn't pay any money into worrying about it. They didn't worry that there'd be nobody in the minors to bail him out if it didn't go well. They didn't worry that Connor Joe, who was supposed to be something of a platoon over there at first, has splits issues of his own and wasn't going to be able to pick up the slack if Rowdy struggled against righties. What did they worry about? Never overthink it with this group, right? $3.2 million for 1 year. They also didn't worry, if you go back over Rowdy's history, and I'm not just saying this now, I'm repeating something that was expressed over the winter, he had one really, really good year in Milwaukee. He also had one very promising year early on in Toronto. And that's it. Out of seven, that's it. The one really, 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 really good year with the Brewers, he had 35 home runs and showed a good eye at the plate that more than dwarfed his .248 batting average. And he looked like he could be something. But then that fell off. And then the Brewers, who are run by smart people, said they weren't interested in him anymore. And it's funny, that's a red flag to people like me and you on the outside, because we can see it objectively, but it's never one to the people making a trade like that. They never say, you know what? The Brewers are smarter than us. Why did they let this guy go? Because they're not going to admit somebody else is smarter than they are. We can fix him. We have the hitting guru here in Andy Haynes. We can take care of this guy. We can make him something that he wasn't. In Milwaukee, we know what they did wrong. It's not just the hitting coach. In fact, I don't even know what percentage of any of this is the hitting coach. But I do know that he doesn't get anything done. Like zero. When we come back, J1Q. This portion of Daily Shot of Pirates is brought to you by our friends at North Shore Tavern. That's directly across Federal Street from PNC Park. It's home of Steak on a Stone, an eating experience, underscoring the word experience. The steak is brought to you partially cooked on an 800-degree stone, and you do the rest. It's a ton of fun, it's a great meal, and it's a baseball atmosphere like no other in Pittsburgh. North Shore Tavern, right across Federal Street from PNC Park. Today's J1Q comes from Scott. It's a good one. He says, DK, why do people compare the Pirates to the Orioles? The O's had a winning record in year four, and by year five, they were a legit playoff team. These Pirates are years behind where the O's were in their year four rebuild. Their youth is actually quality. Ours, for the most part, continues to struggle. Well, yeah. I'd love to just answer this question with just that response and end the show, but that's probably not going to be enough for you. The Pirates should not be compared to the Orioles, except if you're doing so in a derisive way. The situations could not be more comparable at their foundation. Orioles, forever and ever and ever, had a cheapskate owner. That's changed only in the past few months, and that wouldn't have been at all responsible for the O's surge, meaning the fact that they've been sold to people who intend to spend more. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, comparable size markets. Pittsburgh and Baltimore have comparably beautiful ballparks that people love to visit just to visit them. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, while I'm at it, arch rivals in football and one-time rivals in baseball, even though they were in opposite leagues by having met in the 1971 and 79 World Series and blah, 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 blah. There's no reason it should be taking this long. There is a reason that people at 115 Federal seem a little bit on edge, and increasingly so every time I reference, whether it's on the program or in writing, that it's year five, just like they were edgy about it last year when I was pointing out that it was year four. And they'll bring up stuff like, You know, the COVID season doesn't really count. Everybody's development got stunted. Not in Baltimore. When the Orioles had a high pick, that pick ended up coming to Camden Yards and making a difference. The Pirates picked Nick Gonzalez. He's number 7 overall in 2020. Ben Cherington's very first pick. Supposed to be the best pure natural hitter in that class. He is off to a spectacular start in AAA right now with Indianapolis. I hope that continues. He is cutting down on his strikeouts. He is striking the ball solidly. He's not flailing at pitches that go right down the pipe, like meaning right through them, the way he was last year. He looks like a different hitter. You know what I'm going to say next. Yeah, that. He's going to come to Pittsburgh, and he's going to be nothing again. I hope I'm wrong, okay? This isn't a wish on my part. I'd love to be wrong. I loved being wrong about Bailey Falter. And I'll shove that in my own face for months to come if needed. No problem with that. But this general manager, this front office, and this field staff haven't gotten anything done compared to what Baltimore has. So if that's your context for comparing, well, yeah, go right ahead. Go right ahead and do that. I'm sure they'll enjoy it. That hits where it hurts. I appreciate the question. Best one I've been asked all year. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Pirates, and we're going to do another one of these on Monday.